BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll continue with your calls here. We're talking Jets. We're talking Rex. We're talking next head coach, 888-808-1019. It's just crazy to me, before I get back to the point I wanted to make about Aaron Glenn and why I think it could be a problem here, it's crazy that the Jets are seemingly, and I think rightfully so, interviewing as many people as possible for their head coaching spot, for the GM vacancy, yet there are many good candidates, specifically Pete Carroll, Cliff Kingsbury, even Gruden, at least take the interview. What harm could it do? You're interviewing Rex. Might as well interview some of the other guys. But back to Aaron Glenn for a second. I don't think Woody would have the full trust and patience that Aaron Glenn, a first-time defensive coordinator, you know, turned head coach, might need. Look at what happened with Todd Bowles. And I know it's a different circumstance at the timeline. I forget what Christopher Johnson, you know, taking over when Woody was at the UK, whatever. But there wasn't patience in this town with Todd Bowles, where he has now proven, after a quote-unquote failed stint as a head coach year, but he had a good first year, then it was downhill trying to develop Sam Darnold, goes to be a defensive coordinator again, has success, gets the head coaching job in Tampa, is in the postseason yet again. He's proven to be a very good head coach in the NFL. But the Jets gave up on him after, what, 3.5 years, whatever it was, after the 4 years. They do the same thing again for Aaron Glenn. If you have a proven commodity, maybe the leash is a little bit longer, especially when you talk about Woody, who's been a meddling owner.
Yeah, I mean, I he's definitely been meddling, but I think that if he's going to still be that type of owner, I don't think it matters if it's, you know, a rookie coordinator or somebody who's more established. I know why you say, like, in theory, he might have a little more trust in the guy who's been there and done that, like a McCarthy or a Flores. But I think when somebody that is tempted to, you know, get their fingerprints on something, I don't think it really matters who's in their way. If it's not going the way they want it to go, they're going to step in. They're going to do what they want.
Right, but then do we just give up all hope?
No, absolutely not. But
even more so, though, I would think that an established guy with some success would have at least more cachet to kind of keep him in his place and keep him at bay a little bit. The Jets had a good head coach. Todd Bowles is it. Maybe fans don't want to hear that. They like going back to Rex because of what happened years ago. Todd Bowles is a better head coach than Rex Ryan. Like, that is a proven fact. That's not an opinion. That is a proven fact. The Jets had Todd Bowles, so they made a good hire. Mike McCagan wasn't a good hire. They couldn't get Bowles any players, but you've seen what he's done here. So even if you find, let's say Aaron Glenn is a good head coach, is the combination of GM and Glenn going to work immediately to a point to satisfy the fan base and Woody Johnson?
Probably not.
So then we're down the same, hire a guy 4 years, you know, 3.5, 4 years later, fire a guy. Hire a guy, sounds great on paper, solid, everybody wanted all his attitude, this and that, our head coach could kick your head coach's ass. You saw him on the sideline coming from the Niners. In theory, good head, good hire. 3 years, 3.5 years, out. Like, there's the same vicious cycle. So it's not even a knock on Glenn. I almost feel bad for him in this regard because I do think he's a good candidate, but I just don't think this organization can do that again.
Well, I am intrigued by a former player. Todd Bowles played too, but I mean, maybe a little bit more recent, whatever. You know, that trend doesn't always work, but it's worked a little bit. I think Mike Vrabel's terrific. I think Aaron Glenn could be really, really good. Obviously, you look in Detroit with Campbell, and that's working out pretty well for them. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of different ways to go about this. The fact that he played for the Jets, maybe, I mean, eventually that would expire as well, but I think you get a little more built in equity with the fans and a little more trust, because if it is Aaron Glenn, he was here. And listen, but the bottom line is this. I don't care if it's, even if it was Vrabel or some coordinator we're not even thinking about, if you don't get it in the contract, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what Woody says.
They're
now
never going to get it in the contract, though, right?
Well, somebody like Glenn probably wouldn't. Somebody like Mike Vrabel probably could. Think about this. If Woody Johnson, I said this last hour, like, of course, Mike Vrabel's going to wind up with the Patriots, but it doesn't mean you don't throw a last-second Hail Mary. All right, Mike, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers. I could be wildly off on this. Mike, they're giving you $7 million a year. I'm going to give you 11. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to give you institutional control contractually, meaning you have final say in conjunction with the general manager, however you want to word it, that completely limits Woody's ability to intercede. Now, somebody like Vrabel can position himself for that because he's such a highly sought after commodity. Then you throw in the regional, territorial, you know, relationship, Jets, Pats, and all that stuff, and maybe Woody would flinch. I don't think he would flinch on that demand or acquiesce for somebody like Aaron Glenn or Kingsbury, even a Flores who's a coordinator right now, and you know he's got the legal stuff going on. But somebody like Vrabel, I think that he would. But you got to get something in the contract, otherwise Woody is going to Woody.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking to Rex Ryan today. Todd is in Westchester. What's up, Todd?
Hey, I'm a 20-year-old, and I've witnessed the Jets suck my entire life. Last time I saw them win was Rex Ryan. I've been through elementary school, middle school, high school, almost through college. Aaron Glenn is the second coming of Robert Saleh. We don't need another Robert Saleh. We need someone who could embrace this Jets suck. Glenn would be a great head coach for 25 teams out there. The Jets aren't one of them. Rex Ryan would embrace how bad we are. He would be like, hey, this is awful. We need to fix this. And he would fix it.
Well, when you say he would fix it, I agreed with you to a certain extent, but when you say he would fix it, what is that based off of?
Look, he brought the energy to that 2012 team. I remember being an 8-year-old watching that team. They were electric on the field. And look, he's not an offensive guy. He shouldn't pick our next quarterback. But I saw we just interviewed Josh McCown as a head coach candidate. Why not bring him in as an offensive coordinator? Look, there's so many things that we can't just go with the old, go with this guy, he's the best candidate. Go with that guy, he's the best on paper. We need someone who has the ability to bring us out of this perennial suck.
Listen, it's interesting, Todd. Appreciate the call. He does not have the torment many of us. They said he's 20.
Yeah, he's only 20.
He's a young buck.
I haven't even got a taste of it.
Yeah, but Todd, watch. It's going to catch up to you, pal.
You're just learning.
Coming your way, man. He's learning.
Yeah, maybe they make the right hire. Maybe not.
The only thing that I don't get is like, well, I mean, I do, but I don't agree with it. Like, everybody positions this like it's so unique. Like, oh, there's only one guy who can handle the Jets. Why? Herm Edwards did a pretty good job for a bunch of years with the Jets. Other men, and not just named Parcells, have had, you know, representative seasons here with the Jets. I mean, hell, Pete Carroll was doing great before they flushed out that December, and I think they went 0-5. They lost every game. But Pete Carroll up to that point was doing really good. Al Groh started 4-0. You know, Eric Mangini was doing well, and then Brett Favre got hurt. Like, it's not like Rex Ryan's the only one that has this kryptonite that's going to hold it up in space and, like, deflect all of the negative energy that comes the way of the Jets. What are we talking about? Get a coach.
The reason why is because Rex talks like a fan.
Yeah, but I don't buy it.
He also coaches like a fan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, too? Like, I know the optics matter, and that's to an extent. That's why I was pretty pumped up, and obviously what he did with the Niners defense. Like, to me, you've heard this with players, like at the combine or in the weight room, like they look like Tarzan, they play like Jane. Robert Saleh looks like Tarzan, he coached like Jane.
Right.
You know, Rex Ryan presents like Tarzan,
right,
but too often he coaches like Jane. You know, I think that Aaron Glenn can kind of look the part and also coach the part, and I believe Flores can as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Flores has the experience,
yeah,
which is why I want him. Again, the number one thing, there's a lot of layers here. If you're looking for a total rebuild, then I'd be okay. Like, if you told me that Woody's going to just bring in a new general manager, hire a young head coach, first-time head coach in Aaron Glenn, and let them evaluate and clean house and have the next 4 or 5 years runway to clean up the Jets right now, and maybe have some success next year, but new quarterback eventually, like all those different things. Okay, I guess I'd be okay with that, but he's got to stay the course, meaning beyond just the, okay, here you go again, same type of philosophy, hiring the hot coordinator, taking over a team and rebuilding and only having 3 and a half years to do it and falling short and firing them. Like, it can't keep being that same cycle. And I don't think that needs to be the case with the Jets where they're at right now. You could have made an argument to keep Joe Douglas. Certainly, they should have just kept Robert Saleh in season. Like, to me, the timing of that just was messed up. But Joe Douglas, you could have made the argument to potentially keep him. Things went off the rails, so I totally get it. But there's dysfunction beyond many different levels, BT. I don't think that the Jets are that far away from being a competitive team, which is why I think, no doubt about it, they need a proven head coach, which to me is Flores over Glenn.
So if Rodgers is the quarterback next year, do you think the Jets have a chance to win the Super Bowl or get there?
I mean, better chance than who the alternative is, but I wouldn't say that they're a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, neither would I. Yeah. I've learned my lesson here. Yeah. And if that's the case, now, this would support the notion of moving on from Rodgers. If you don't, the object's still to win. I know the Jets never do, but the object's to win. So if you don't think, and I'm with you, this is far from a Super Bowl team, though I do think they could be cleaned up quickly to a wild card-ish kind of team. I do believe
that.
But then you never know. That's true. You never know. But realistically speaking, not a Super Bowl. Too many holes. Too many flaws, right? Too many issues.
Hard to go from no playoffs in 15 years to Super Bowl.
Yeah. So if that's the case, why wouldn't you just move on?
Okay, but because I still believe you can salvage winning now, building a foundation.
But at what cost? Like, if you're winning nine games with Rodgers, aren't you just delaying the inevitable?
No, because if you're building a foundation of a successful franchise, the idea would be, like it was supposed to be a few years ago, bring in Rodgers, have success, and then insert, at that time, Zach Wilson in and hope to keep the machine moving. Now, obviously, it fell apart and they ruined their season. Rodgers got hurt, which ruined this season in part because of the rehab he had to do. They ruined Zach Wilson because he was thrown again to the Wolves when he wasn't ready. The whole thing blew up in their faces. But you can double or triple down, it would be at this point, try to finally lay that groundwork to build a successful, stable foundation for once, and then transition to the next. Otherwise, you're going to be again throwing a young quarterback
like the
with
Niners,
a young head coach.
Like the Niners. Think about it. The Niners got to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. Now, they fell short this year, but you know they've been very, very good with not only Purdy, but even some other guys. When guys were hurt, Mullen stepped in. One of you. Like, so that's the culture. Like, that's a franchise that is buttoned up and well-coached, and the roster is, it makes sense, and it's even, and it's
yeah.
That's the ultimate goal. Where, and then if you could get a year, another, like put it this way, if Rodgers, now let's push this forward in an even more, maybe delusional, but definitely more positive way. If Rodgers could replicate next year the 17 games that he played for the final 8 or 9, well, then maybe they could be more than a wild card team.
And here's why I would take,
with the right tweaks.
Yeah, here's why I would take a chance on that. Like, I know that we've gotten, as sports fans, too smart for our own good. It's all about, like you said, bottom line. Can they win a Super Bowl? Okay, well, if not, then strip it down and get me to the point where they can win a Super Bowl. That's taking away years of enjoyment, because for 15 years, we have not had a chance to sit back on a Saturday or a Sunday and watch the New York Jets in a postseason game.
Yep.
Those are the things that, as fans, we value the most. I want to see that. And I know that we can see that next year if they make the right head coaching decision with bringing back Aaron Rodgers. That is a better possibility than whatever the alternative is. Like, who is the alternative? You're not bringing back Sam Darnold if he becomes available. Who's the stopgap? You going to go get Kirk Cousins?
Justin Fields for a year.
I mean,
I'm just throwing stuff out.
Yeah,
don't love
those
it.
Those are the names.
Did you say Winston?
Yeah,
somebody like that.
Those are the names that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So to me, Rodgers is better than that.
I agree.
And I want to see a winning team, even if it means, doesn't mean the ultimate win. Getting to the playoffs is a start and hopefully can build a foundation.
Now, this is counter and a contradiction to what you say about the Mets. And I was saying what you're saying now about the Jets, I was saying about the Mets. I remember you always saying, hey, I don't want one good year. I want to be in the mix every year, and I want sustainable, because that's your team, right?
No, but it is the same thing.
But you're saying,
I think that this bringing back Rodgers and building a foundation should lead to sustained success. And in the Mets case, I'm assuming you're saying, why didn't want to go after like Bellinger or whatever you're talking about?
Yeah. Remember we had that conversation.
Yeah, because I didn't think that would lead them to building the best team.
Okay, I got you.
I was only willing to sacrifice that one year.
Gotcha. I got you.
You know what I mean?
I do. No, I got you. My bad. I just think, like, you know, for the Jets fans' perspective, and I know it's so miserable, man. It is empty. It feels like work. It's not even remotely enjoyable.
But there are pieces.
Who the hell
there?
Enjoys football Sundays anymore?
Yeah, I know, but
I don't.
But there are pieces there that you could, like, you'd rather just trade Sauce and trade Garrett. And,
no,
and,
no. Not definitively. What I am open to is the right GM coach combo coming in and looking at this roster and saying, and given the freedom by Woody, hey, whatever you think is the right move, I got your back. And if that means shipping one of those two players out, I'm fine with that. If it's the Mitrov or somebody has done this before, and they're like, not a sauce, you know, with the film and a tweak and scheme, whatever, you know, a little bit more buttoned up with his technique. He's a superstar like he was his first 2 years. Give him the 100 mil. I'd be okay. Like, I'm not predisposed to any one direction, except I don't want Rex.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
That's the
one thing we both agree on is no Rex Ryan. Steve is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I obviously disagree with you guys. I would like Rex Ryan. I have a two-minute plan for the Jets. I'd like to bring in Rex Ryan. I'd either want to bring in Mike McCarthy or Peterson as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, God, stop. Stevie, hold on. Stevie, this is Earth calling, Stevie. Hold on, Stevie, buddy. Let me just intervene for a moment here, Steve. Mike McCarthy is currently the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. The Chicago Bears, are requesting... Okay. You know, the ability to speak to him. He's going to come and work under a guy that's been, you know, given hot takes in a studio for 7 years, and most of the hot takes not even good? Really?
I mean, McCarthy and Peterson, both your guys you want to bring in, won Super Bowls as a head coach before. They're going to coordinate under Rack?
Come on, Steve.
Well, that's how you rebuild. Don't you agree a coach going right from one team to another rarely works out? So they got a year to rebuild.
For the most part.
Anybody could... Well, if you could rebuild the Jets' offense, you'd have 10 people lining up if you could ever bring the Jets' success. So sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward.
No, but Steve, here, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Steve. But what you're saying is, what you're doing is you're blurring two things. One is true, one is not. Yes, sometimes you do have to take a step back to take many, many steps forward. And I'm okay with that, whether it's now or any other situation with any of our teams. What you're completely wildly off base about is presenting McCarthy working under somebody like Rex. There's no way that's happening.
Right. Why don't you bring McCarthy in as the head coach?
Problem solved.
You're going to bring him in as the head coach.
Yep.
And by the way, you know, because Peterson obviously out in Jacksonville.
Yep.
That was like the dream scenario for the Jets years ago. Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
There's nobody who thought that was going to blow up the way that it did. Peterson won a Super Bowl before, an offensive guy, no doubt about it, had the top pick, the no doubt about it, Trevor Lawrence. So that didn't work either. There is no surefire way to do it. Like, we could give our opinions, you could give your opinions, the Jets are going to make their decisions, whatever it may be. There's no surefire way to do it. The one thing, aside from not wanting Rex, the one thing, though, that I just feel is imperative now is to do it for the Jets, to do it differently than what they've done before, meaning finally an established guy, and if not an established guy, then an offensive guy, as opposed to a first-time defensive coordinator. That's the number one thing that I ask.
Listen, when you're always wrong, you would think that doing something different is the right move, and I agree, unless something that is the same appears so different. And I know that seems like a contradiction. Like, if you really think that Aaron Glenn's going to be a superstar, and I think that he could be. I do. I'm in that camp. Well, then you defy, you know, the list and the litany of mistakes that you've made for a while. First-year rookie head coach, defensive background. Like, I know it seems counterintuitive to what they're supposed to do, but if you really believe that Glenn's the guy, hit the button. What are you laughing at?
I'm reading the Rex quote. I mean,
what did he say here?
I think I'm going to get it because I'm the best guy, and it ain't close.
Like, it ain't clear. It's not close, Rex. Nobody's in your stratosphere, Rex. You're such a brilliant football mind. You're so amazing that every team that has an opening the last 7 years has been banging down your door. Actually, nobody's even called you to talk to you. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. I mean, that's like being on a... we're too old and we met our wives. But, well, you actually did it. I was never on a dating app, ever. Yeah. Right? You know, need to be. Yeah. But also, you know...
sometimes we'll say
No, but like I met Jen in 08, right? Yeah. But that's like being on a dating app and not getting one single nibble. Take the hint, man.
Right.
I mean, change the profile pic. Do something. Lie. You know, say it's dragging like a horse. Do something, but you got to do something different because nobody's clicking on you. They're swiping right past you.
It's a great analogy. BT and Sal, the Fan will come back. Have more of your calls, 888-808-1019. We do want to get some baseball today.
Maybe
touch on the Giants a little bit as well. So plenty
Pete Alonso, hey Boris, Earth to Rex, Earth to Boris.
Yeah, really. I mean, talk about out of touch. Yankees as well, potentially making some moves. So we'll discuss all that as well. 888-808-1019.
Money talks.
Ooh, yeah. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888. the number to call.
God, I haven't heard this one in a long time.
Well, you were breakdancing in this back in the day?
No. This is after breakdancing, actually.
By the way, I will have an announcement. You want it, Hoff, later today or you want it tomorrow?
I'm going to draw it out this
guy. I want it like next year.
I will have an announcement tomorrow on which wrestlers I will select for you and Hoff to. Now, so here's how we'll do it tomorrow. The perfect parlay picks thing. I won last year. We lost. We had a dress like Doink and Goldust. So I won this year. So I'm going to pick two wrestlers that BT and Hoff have to dress up as. And then BT, because you finished in second, you get to choose who you want.
Yep.
And then Hoff, it will be left with the results. So I'll announce it tomorrow. Okay. We'll do it this time tomorrow, whatever, 11:20. And then later in the show, I'm going to need an answer from you on which one you're going to be.
I can give an answer right away. I'm sure one of them's going to hit me worse than the other. So.
I've got some good ones.
You do.
And they're not, no nips will be exposed.
Hopefully.
Hoff was asking for that. You know what I'm saying?
My wife was asking for
that. Yeah, Hoff's wife was asking not to expose his upper body. So no singlets or anything like that. No singlets for sure, but maybe some face paint involved.
No, that's always fun. Okay. Whatever we got, I lost a bet. Whatever we got to do.
Looking for good. And I guess you're going to have, when are you going to decide what you want me to dress up
as? You always ask me.
And it's got to be
would you make up the decision? I don't know.
It's got to be on opening day.
And,
right?
And by the way, I
just want to pay off the bet. I don't like having things hanging over me.
Oh, I do.
Leave things open.
Well, I just got to see how you behave. You know, when you get out of line, I got to make it more painful. No, now that you're back on the good rails, I'm not looking to embarrass you.
I want things closed. I don't even like my text open when I'm done with stuff.
I know who you should dress up as, but I don't think you're going to do it.
Who?
Marla Hooch.
Ooh.
I don't even know what's that from the movie.
From League of Their Own.
League of Their Own.
Come on.
That's Rosie, right?
Hey, careful. No. I still haven't firmly.
Oh, that's true, Hoff.
I still haven't firmly decided who I want to have.
Let's go, Miss Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
No, that's too easy. Here, man. It's got to be a Yankee. We'll figure that out.
The other thing is, before we get back to the calls here, it's been almost a year.
Okay.
Since we had the Pull Your Card World Series. Remember, it was a nice battle.
Yes, it was.
And the Pull Your Card games that matter. We went seven games.
Game seven.
And then after that, it was kind of exhibition throughout the course of the year.
Sure.
The World Series starts back up end of January.
And my laptop is still busted. If you take a look at this. It's missing six. Look at that.
I remember
six
you buttons. Fired that notepad.
I was pissed.
What was it? Rick
it was
Anderson.
It was
Rick
a pitcher,
Anderson.
Right?
Yeah, Rick Anderson, lead pitcher.
Man.
So we got to get, we'll pull your cards this Thursday. We'll do a pick to get us warmed up.
Okay.
And then next week, we'll start game one.
I love doing that.
That was fun.
Dude,
those were intense.
No joke. Cards have made, I'm sure you know this, have made such a comeback. Every party my son goes to, every kid comes home with a pack of cards.
Really?
The kids are so into them.
And now they're like so ridiculously expensive.
It's almost oversaturating. Like, oh, this is an autograph, and this is one of 100, and this one's numbered, and this one has a cloth uniform. Like, it's really, really cool. And the presentation on the cards are phenomenal. Like, they just look cool.
Unfortunately, the majority of them are kind of worthless. Yeah, the majority of them. Yeah, obviously, you can get some great pulls, and that's the game to chase. Real quick on that. So, you know, I've been buying these boxes of cards for us to open, right?
Yes.
And I bought, for whatever reason, like hockey cards. I was like, all right, maybe we'll have some fun and mess around, even if I do it on the podcast, the version of the show, whatever. Mess around with Hoff a little bit. And then I was just opening them for myself, me and my nephew. I happened to pull a card. And just like,
year?
This is 92-93.
Oh, it's a good year.
So
yeah, 90, Sega.
Yeah. So 92-93, what the hell is the name of the brand of the card? Pro Set. 92-93 Pro Set hockey cards.
Okay.
And I'm just looking for Rangers, and I'm going to, whatever, toss the rest because I just want to keep the Rangers, maybe give them my nephew. And I pull a Kirk McLean card.
Ooh.
That looks like it's signed.
And okay.
I'm like, what is this? Like, and you know how in the new packs, like, you would know, here's your relic card, one of 100, one of 1,000, whatever it is. Here's your auto.
Yeah.
This was literally in the middle of a pack. Like, I was like, what the hell is this? I did some research.
Yeah.
And it was an unannounced autograph card that was inserted back in those boxes. It's supposedly one of the more rare.
What's it worth?
Well, I got it up on eBay right now. So there are 3 days left to bid. It's going for $104 right now.
This guy's got a little side business.
Yeah, what am I going to do with Kirk McLean autograph card? One guy has it on there.
What team was he on at that point?
He was with Vancouver. So this is right before the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, he's playing with Mets what was the goalie's name?
Grant Fuhr? No, he was on Vancouver.
I'm thinking Edmonton. That's right, my bad. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Trevor Linden and Pavel Bure. Those teams are the right.
I got to stay in my lane. Yep.
You probably shouldn't be talking about this right now because you know you're going to be missing cards even more now.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, luckily those, you know, people...
We get to the bottom of that yet?
And we did not get to the bottom.
No, we just put a camera in there, so we'll get our answer.
But how about that? Random call. I'll let you know what that goes for next week when the bidding ends. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019.
No Rex, if you're just tuning in. Yeah. We do not want Rex.
Well, we disagree.
I don't.
We disagree with certain things with the Jets. Like, at this point of the names there, I would hire Flores. I want Pete Carroll. One thing we do agree on, you know, we could talk about rebuild, keep Rodgers, this or that. One thing we definitely, BT and I agree on, no Rex Ryan, and he is interviewing today for the job. Sean is in Farmingdale. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm happy you took that call a couple minutes ago about the guy having McCarthy be Rex's coordinator. That's ridiculous. I wanted to give you guys my perspective as a Cowboys fan on McCarthy, maybe a little report card. Definitely raises the floor for the Jets and probably more likely the Bears. Professional, I think he gets a lot, you know, a lot of respect from the coaches and the referees. I'll give you the negative, though. I mean, the penalties aren't going to stop if that's what you're worried about. That's for sure. He's a disaster there. And then clock management, which I know is an epidemic across the league. End of halves, you're going to see some stuff that, again, you know, could bust out the Madden right now. I could run circles around him as far as managing a clock. But I think, I do think that he, you know, he works for the Jets. I'll preface it by saying I don't want him as a Cowboy coach anymore, although I don't know who could, you know, work under that regime. But I definitely think McCarthy is an interesting name for the Jets because I definitely think he makes you respectable right off the bat. And I'm here in New York, so I hear you guys. I mean, just getting some respect is a start, and then you know you build from there.
How about Rodgers? And thank you for the insight Sean. How about Rodgers and McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean,
one more round.
McCarthy's a good coach. He's not great. He's good. He's solid. He's a good NFL coach. Like I don't need respect day one. I want to get in the position where they earn respect based on the team that they put out there. Like, that's, I don't know. I'm looking to change the bar. Like, change the standard a little bit. I don't need the winning press conference. I don't care about that.
But I feel like you're looking for what we thought Robert Saleh was going to be, right? Like, that leader of men, that alpha male. Saleh looked the part.
Yes.
He wasn't the part.
No, I told you, he looked like Tarzan. He coached like Jane.
Right. I do think Flores can be that guy because he's done it before. He had success in Miami. I liked him in Miami. I thought they made a huge mistake by letting him go. So I love the idea of getting Flores, who's hungry, motivated, chip on his shoulder.
He's
has
from
experience.
Here. He's from here.
Yeah, I love all those
Me
things.
Me too. Like, he's my number one now. Yeah, I don't think Vrabel's coming.
Aaron Glenn, to me, could be that. But he might not be that. And he's not an offensive guy. Like, if I'm not going to go offensive guy, I guess the way to sum it up would be the only way I'd go inexperience would be if he's an offensive coordinator.
Like a Ben Johnson type.
Correct.
Yep.
Or Liam
Cohen. You mean as a first-year guy.
Correct.
Yeah, I understand that.
Kingsbury,
I'd
choose over both those guys because he has experience and is an offensive guy.
Yeah.
Those would be the guys I would go.
And by the way, I'm not just saying, you know, Glenn for the Jets because he played for the Jets. Like, to me, and I pointed this out to Sal, like, you look at, go look at the depth chart of the Detroit Lions this year. And look at how many defensive players, mainly their top pass rusher, are on IR. So to me, it's a scheme that's transferable to an entire room. And it's not just built around one or two guys being stars, which to me is very appealing. To me, that shows adaptability. That shows a resourcefulness. That just shows me that if things aren't going perfectly, that at least, you know, there's signs that Aaron Glenn would be able to adjust on the fly and still win.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying that he would be a bad hire. I just think at this point needs some experience. By the way, the Jaguars are interviewing Robert Saleh to be their head coach.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Are they really?
How about if, you know, Bowles gets his team to the postseason, Saleh all of a sudden takes
Trevor
Lawrence.
Well, now we go on the renaissance of the Jets coaches. Now, first we went through the quarterback tour.
Yeah.
Here's Darnold, here's Geno, Zach Wilson next year probably. Now we just go on the quarterbacks.
I mean,
on the head coaches.
If that happens.
They're not hiring him. And if they are, if they do, they're nuts.
Imagine he, though, did have success. It would just show you that.
I like Robert. He's a good man. I don't think he's a very good coach.
Do you think he'll ever get another head coaching job?
I don't think he gets another head coaching job before he gets a coordinator job.
Right.
I don't think he just I think that he could. He's young. I also think the way that it looked after he left the Jets certainly is appealing.
That's a good point.
To other employers. Same applies to Joe Douglas. So
it got worse after those guys left.
It did. I don't know what Shad Khan's thinking out there in Jacksonville. They are dysfunctional. He's a very trigger happy, quick. I don't know. He's a little messy down there. Same with Tepper in Carolina. But I think that it's an interesting interview. I'd be very surprised if he gets it. You're going to wait. So let me get this straight. So Trevor Lawrence, who's nowhere near what he was supposed to be, you're going to align him with Robert Saleh? That's the move? I mean, come on.
Yeah, nah. You're saying.
Yeah, it's not what I would do.
Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Back at it. A little bald face lie, bald face truth. Hoff, what do you have for us?
All right, we're starting with the Jets because Jets seem to be the theme today. BT, Garrett Wilson will leave the Jets before Davante Adams. Bald face truth, bald face lie.
I think that's a bald face lie. I don't see that happening at all. I do think that Davante Adams is going to move on. I mean, yeah, listen, you've got to start to eliminate people based on what you think might happen before their elimination. And while I would bring back Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that they will, okay? So I think once Aaron Rodgers goes, I think Davante Adams goes, and then obviously that would leave Garrett Wilson still here. And I hope that Garrett Wilson's not gone. Now, we've had the discussion, is he worth that $35 million a year, that big-time money that Jefferson and some others are making? No, but he's that next tier. I'm not looking to get rid of him. I do not think he's out the door before Adams. No.
Yeah, that's a bald-faced lie. Garrett Wilson will be here, and he should be here. And I'd be curious to see what Wilson does in another year now. And look, is it going to be a different quarterback? I hope not, but I do think it is going to be that way. I agree with you, BT, that the Jets, even though we would both bring Rodgers back, I think they're going to move on from him. And Garrett Wilson is once again, just like he was pre-Davante Adams, going to have to be the guy. Can he do that? We've already seen signs of Malik Nabers with horrible quarterback play showing that he could be the guy as a top dog. Not knocking Garrett Wilson, but he hasn't shown that he could be that consistently enough to warrant maybe paying him the $30 million, whatever. Like, he's not Justin Jefferson, I'm sorry. He's
no,
not on that level.
No,
he's not C.D. Lamb.
No, I agree.
He's not on that level. I hope one day he gets there. I always believed in him. I think he's been disappointing, though. But either way, I think he'll still be here, yes.
All right, now, Sal, to you. The biggest mistake the Giants organization has made during the Shane and Dable era has been not drafting a quarterback last offseason. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth.
That is an absolute bald-faced truth. Now, there are many mistakes that this regime has made in their 3 years here. But to me, that's it. Because we talked about this yesterday, BT. Whereas, you know, people could say, oh, Sal, what would you want them to do their first year? Get rid of Daniel Jones, franchise tag him. All right, I'll give you that Mara forced Jones on Shane and Dable. And I'll give you that they had to, you know, after having that initial success, extend him after that first year. Fine. What I will not give you under any circumstance is not taking a quarterback last year. Because I said it even after, you know, not wanting Jones and the postseason appearance and winning a playoff game or whatever in year two. After year two when they failed, there was no doubt that it was over for Daniel Jones. So their mistake was then thinking that Daniel Jones still could be salvaged, foregoing a quarterback last year, and now we're put in a spot, BT, where they have to take a quarterback. So yes, that is a bald-faced truth. Their biggest mistake, Shane and Dable, was not selecting a quarterback a year ago.
I think it's a bald-faced lie. I think it's a massive, massive mistake, but I think it's the second big mistake. The first mistake was not tagging Jones, which would have been the easy thing to do, and you have a little more time to evaluate without the commitment that they made. So I get what you're saying here, but it's always easier in hindsight. And I'm not even saying that they should have given that guaranteed money that they gave Daniel Jones to Saquon. I'm not even saying that. But the tag would have been the more, I think, the better route and obviously less, you know, less punitive in terms of the money, and obviously would not be, they wouldn't be where they are right now, put it that way. But both are big mistakes.
Finally, BT.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson.
Mitch.
Will play over 22.5 regular season games this year for the Knicks.
I think that's a bald-faced lie here. And we're going to get to the Knicks later. What happened last night bothered me. It's one thing, all right, you lose at Oklahoma City. All right, you're a little tired. You're on the road. You've been on the road as much as anybody the last month. You lose against the Bulls. That bothered me. Last night really bothered me. Last night, even without Karl-Anthony Towns, they just did not play well. We've got to have a conversation about Tom Thibodeau a little bit later with the rotation, which we will. I'm worried about Mitchell Robinson because every time I was reading about this again this morning, every time his name comes up, I get this. He hasn't been cleared for basketball activities yet. Everybody needs to understand what it's not like, okay, you know, January 8th or whatever, in a day or two, Mitchell Robinson cleared for basketball activities. Boom, the next day, Mitchell Robinson back. Once you get cleared for basketball activities, you've got about 3 weeks, and maybe with his body and his injuries, maybe even more than that, a big body, you know, a month or so to navigate the pitfalls and see if you're right. I don't think he's playing more than 22. No.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. He will play more than that. There's 45 games to go.
I know. He's not even on the court yet doing anything.
Yeah, all right, so let's say February. Is that not a fair...
Before you know it, it's going to be January 15th. Yeah. I don't think so, Sal.
Now, look, they better hope it's a bald-faced truth because they do need him the way that they're built. And that's my issue, and I do want to get into the next conversation in a little bit. I mean, we could just have it now. Like, they don't play defense, which is a major problem to me. So Mitch Robinson coming back is going to help at least have a rim protector underneath right there, and maybe from there, inside out, their defense will become better, but this is not even just off of the loss last night, which was atrocious.
Yeah.
They just don't play consistent enough defense. You saw it even in the Oklahoma City game. Guys getting worn down, sure, but the defense has not been there all year long. Offense, great for the most part. Defense, not. They need Mitch, and I do believe that when he comes back, he'll be healthy the rest of the way. And it might be, sadly, the key to the entire season.
It might be. And listen, if that's not the key, then the trade deadline is the key. Because listen, the Knicks are really good. I don't want to overreact to this. I heard Boomer talking about it. I think Boomer's right. It's just kind of like a mid-season-ish malaise here. But it's not going to be a mid-season malaise if there's not adjustments here. Now, the thing that's really been a problem is Deuce has been out a lot this year. And Deuce McBride is a scorer. He's a defender. He's a young, energetic, cheap. Remember, he signed that three-year, $13 million deal. They miss him, man, because you could give Jalen Brunson some rest. You could obviously lengthen out the rotation. And it's a different feel if you have guys like Deuce and maybe Josh Hart and Campaign running up and down the court. Mitch, when he gets back with that second unit, they are in a very interesting spot where I do think that the Knicks are absolutely one of the five or six best teams in the NBA. I really, really do. Now, they've already lost too many games, and the other teams, most notably the Cavaliers, never lose. So they're not getting the top seed. They're not getting the second seed. And I don't even think that they have to wind themselves up and fight to really... and tire themselves out. Like, they don't need to be a top two seed to win if they're healthy, because what they have is going to travel. But they got to get Mitch, and they've got to get Deuce going. They've got to.
Yeah, I just think that they need to play. Like, for me, the lack of defensive intensity consistently will haunt them in the postseason. And teams are going to get better defensively in the postseason. Are the Knicks? I mean, right now they're playing these guys till they can't play anymore.
I think three of the top minutes guys in the NBA are Knicks. Yeah. It's Bridges, Hart, and OG Anunoby are all top three.
Which I don't in theory have a problem with, but that would tell you that...
That's a problem, Sal.
Right, but here's the thing. Like, for years, the Knicks would do this with Tibbs. It's nothing new. But in the regular season, their intensity would be so much better than everybody else's, specifically defensively.
Yep.
So now the minutes are still there, but their intensity defensively is not there because they're not a good defensive team, at the very least not yet. So in the postseason, other teams are going to turn it up defensively, whereas the Knicks used to hit the ground running there. I don't think that this is sustainable. Now, their offense, is it championship caliber? Absolutely.
Yes.
Healthy Karl Anthony Towns. All those starting five,
no question.
Even with the contributions from the guys on the bench, even though it's a shorter bench, no question about it, that is a championship caliber offense. It's the defense that they rebound well, so I'm not worried about that. Like, it's the defense that, to me, is the biggest issue.
Yeah, and the defense has gotten better. Like, the trends, I'm not talking about the OKC game where you looked up and it was a layup. I also do think it's, and this applies to a lot of the really good teams in the NBA. It's very matchup specific. Like, I think if you watch the Knicks on a Monday, depending upon who they're playing, and then you watch them on a Thursday, you get two totally different defensive vibes. And here's what I mean by that. Now, the Thunder just happened to be amazing. They're, 35-5. But if you watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, he's just cutting into the teeth of the defense within a second. And I know that there's switches and they run the second guy, the wings. I understand that. But when you have Jalen Brunson, who is not a good defender at all, and we love him, but he's just very weak defensively, and you have somebody like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doing what he wants. Like, the moment he's going to get in the paint within 2 seconds. And then everything else residually is impacted and compromised. But not many teams have somebody like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So it's not as centrally, at least not on my mind, because the defensive metrics have gotten better as the year's gone on. However, the Knicks have played a lot of bad teams. Bad teams take bad shots, and they miss a lot of shots. So I do think that there might be a recent inflation in the defensive uptick. I don't think they're not where they need to be defensively yet, and it shouldn't be the case, because they've got multiple elite wings who can guard anybody in the NBA. I really, 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 and I could throw 9 more reallys, really like this team. I don't love them yet. Yeah. I don't love them yet.
They've got some issues.
I said this when the season started,
yeah.
And I know that they won a lot of games, but they played some bad teams. They got fat on bad teams, dude.
Yeah, no Towns last night, too, so you kind of, I know people going
the Magic didn't have their top 4 scorers.
Yeah, okay, but I can't worry about that. I worry about Towns' perspective. He's their best scorer.
No, I know, but Sal, think about this. I don't know if everybody knows this. The Orlando Magic did not have their top 4 scorers last night. Listen, we didn't overreact, even though it was on Friday, so we didn't really get into it on Monday with the football. I was disappointed because the Knicks played a great quarter in Oklahoma.
It was a bad loss.
It was a frustrating loss. Yeah. The Bulls loss bothered me, but last night,
back to back after the exhaustion or exertion that they showed in the OKC game, like I gave them the excuse.
And the Bulls can score, by the way. They can shoot. Kobe White got hot. LaVine can score. We know that. Last night was unacceptable. The Orlando, the Magic. Their 4 best scorers didn't play. I know Carl didn't play. The Knicks were favored by 12.5 points for a reason.
You couldn't hit a 3. Magic played better defense. Magic played better defense than the Knicks.
You got to win that game, though. The Magic don't really shoot very well. Then what's his name?
Wendell Carter.
Yeah, he was three for three. He's like 20%. Like they overachieved. I get that. And it's wacky. And it's the middle of January. It's the middle of the season. I'm not going nuts. But last night's the kind of game where you sit there and you say, dude, I mean, Knicks, we take you seriously, and we love watching you, and you're a really viable team. You can't lose that game. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what anybody says. That is a game that the Knicks cannot lose. You play, especially since you were embarrassed in Chicago. You back home, win the game. Win the game.
Yeah, to me, it's not going to be a big deal. I can't wait for the postseason.
Me too, but I got to deal with the now.
Yeah, I get
you
it.
Know?
I get it, but that's what I'm saying. I think the defense got to be fixed, obviously, by the time they get to the postseason. All right, we have some Mets news Hoff is telling us that we could get to when we come back. Also reset and be down with the king topic of the day, Rex Ryan, interviewing to be the head coach of the NYJ. We'll discuss Rex and other candidates as well as your calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.